welcome to another edition of the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join in our conversation today. Make your voice be heard. Area code 850-994-3747. You can text that number. You can also, if you have an Android device, you can download our WTGF app and communicate with us there. Lines are open. Miss Angie's at the VA still, so this will be fun.
We are certainly glad you joined us today. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast. We've got a lot of good things to talk about today, a lot of interesting subject matter. We're going to be talking about the judgment of God, the chastisement of God, and maybe you've wondered, well, why aren't some of these people who are doing vile, wicked things, murdering people and doing some awful things that we hear about every day now, why aren't they judged? Why didn't God deal with that matter? Well, we'll talk about that. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a question about it. Give us a call and join in the conversation. We'd love to have you involved in the conversation today. The number to call is 994-3747. That's an 850 area code. Or you can leave your comments online, and we'll refer to them and bring them out in the discussion. So we look forward to hearing from you today as we discuss these matters. You know, I was looking before the show, I browse Facebook, see what people are saying, see what's going on there. And
you find some interesting stuff, don't you?
I'm telling you, some wild, crazy stuff sometimes. But it's very interesting. So, but this morning we found this, we came across this thing with this person. Her name is actress Kathy Griffin. Now, my wife thought it was Kathy Lee Griffith, but not the same at all.
No,
this woman is an Emmy Awards winner. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on that. There's a lot of emphasis on that kind of thing today. And anybody that wins the Emmy, there's supposed to be Oscars or something like that. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of wild that these people are put on a pedestal and put in as someone to listen to. Well, if you want to listen to this kind of thing, I feel sorry for you. You know, I really do, because this woman is she needs our prayer. She's going to experience the judgment of God.
Right.
And it may not be immediate, but it will come. And I made a contrast. I'm going to put some comments on Facebook about it. Made a contrast regarding the goodness of God.
Now, for the people that don't know, she's a little small redheaded girl that is a comedian.
Okay.
She's a comedian, and we'll just leave it as a comedian. The jokes aren't very good.
Yeah.
They're dirty.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense from what she said. But let me read the statement. Let me just read what's on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and find this. She said at the Emmy. Here's what transpired at the Emmy Awards. Kathy Griffin's acceptance speech said, "A lot of people come up here and thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus." She went on to say, "Suck it, Jesus." Now, that's just hard to even quote. "This is my God now," and referring to the Emmy. "As a Christian, I'm offended at her hate speech." And this is what somebody else wrote. I'm just reading now what somebody else wrote. I'm certainly offended at it as well. This person went on to say, which I thought was interesting. He said, "I'm offended at her hate speech. What do you think might have happened if she had made this hate speech against Muslims?"
Oh, there'd be riot in the streets.
Well, somebody'd be trying to shoot her, I imagine, or go cut her head off or whatever. You know, just like they've done in the past. In Britain, they went after the individual who made some comments about Mohammed. And, you know, if she would have referred to Mohammed in this fashion, she would be running for cover right now. Christians, you know, we have the love of God. You know, there's quite a contrast between Islam and Christianity. You know, Islam has no, there's like 20 some odd names that they use for Allah. There are different names to refer to Allah. And in Islam, there are none of them that reference Allah as being a loving, kind God. You know, Allah is not a, In the religion itself, I'm talking about the religion itself, doesn't present any loving picture of Allah, quote, quote. Whereas Christianity, the very heart of Christianity is the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so the two are not the same. Allah, you know, for those who want to think of Allah as just being another name for the God of the Christians, is totally, totally misunderstood. That is definitely not the case.
Now, was Allah ever alive?
No.
What, did he live on this earth or?
No, no,
was it a person?
No. Okay. Absolutely not. Doesn't even, and I know he's according to Islam, he's the one true God, and to use any other name is of course anathema to them, and you know, that's where they get their ideas of being able to kill people, regard, you know, and that sort of thing. Who deny Allah? Who deny? Who speak evil against Muhammad? But the point of this woman making these kinds of statements, you know. This poor woman will be, the judgment of God may not fall upon her instantly. You know, and that's kind of we open with that statement about those who do wicked things, people who cut off other people's heads and, you know, who do just awful things and whatever awful thing you can describe, you know, raping little children. And I read there was a thing on here about a 16-year-old girl who was being hung, who was being killed because she was raped and therefore defiled. And so,
really?
And this is the Islam religion was the perpetrating this stuff. And I, you know, I don't care, you know, it's not to me. And we're not going to, we're not here to bash Islam today, but what we're talking about is the judgment of God and how it comes and why God doesn't judge those who do things of that nature more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us, and I, you know, I usually refer to myself, but I really think most of us would be of the mind to, you know, tell this woman where to get off, you know, or we would, those who are, you know, that we've seen pictures of on the internet, those who are slitting the throats and cutting the heads off of.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture the other day of about a dozen men hanging up by their heels with no heads, you know, and these were soldiers. And then there's those where that bear the Christian name, they worship Christ. And they were having their heads cut off on the video in publicly, you know, making it public. So, my desire would be to put a stop to that immediately,
mm-hmm.
you know, do whatever's necessary, you know, greet them with some bombs, you know, that would be my choice in how to handle that situation. But God doesn't do things that way. You know, the Lord allows it to happen. Now, I think he expects something from us to deal with that sort of thing, something from nations who are upright in mm-hmm. their belief and in their mannerism to deal with that kind of thing. But again, the judgment of God comes. God is very long-suffering. God is patient and kind, gentle. And these are the characteristics of God that I think we as Christians ought to exemplify. I wish I exemplified them more, you know. But nonetheless, God doesn't bring justice immediately, like I would choose to do. He sometimes, somebody has said it this way, the wheels of God's justice grind very slow but exceedingly fine. And so though God's justice will come, just like this woman, this poor, ignorant woman, she's made these statements about Jesus, you know, that are just expressed. They really express her ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
God could, if he so chose, just take her breath away that quick, instantaneously. You know, she could just, a gnat could fly down her throat and she'd choke to death on the spot.
Right.
But he doesn't work that way all the time. There have been instances where he's done things of that nature, allowed things of that nature to take place. But in this case, she may live a long, prosperous life. She may be healthy. You know, she may obtain wealth, more wealth than whatever she has now. She may enjoy the breathing God's free air for a long period of time. But I assure you, she will regret those words. She'll mm-hmm. live to regret those words. And you know, I've heard of atheists, you know, cursing God It's not so much anymore, just a general run-of-the-mill people today are don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. But in the past, there have been atheists who came out strongly against the Lord and cursed God and, you know, denied God and used statements to deny the existence of God. And there was a little pamphlet written some years ago about that, referring back to these atheists back a century or so ago. Ingersoll was one of them, named mm-hmm. one of them. There's a number of them. But how that each one of them, when they got to their deathbed, contrary statements that they were. One of them said, "I'm burning. I'm stepping off into hell," before right at his deathbed when he died. Mm-hmm. And there were other statements that were made. There's a whole list of statements that were made. And so, the point being, they lived long lives. They were allowed to make such statements. They went through their life and denied the existence of God and opposed those who believed in God. And yet at the end of life, when it was too late for them, basically they went out into eternity knowing that that God really does exist and experiencing the flames of hell and reflecting back and allowing mm-hmm. us to realize, or those who might follow their evil ways, to realize that that God really does exist, that God really is true and real. So anyway, this woman, and again, let me just refer to another verse. The Bible says that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. My prayer for this woman is that she might come to the realization that God is good and mm-hmm. he is real, and that she might come to the place of realizing the goodness of God to the point that she would repent and turn from her evil way to the Lord, you know, just turn to the Lord in reality.
Because one day she's going to be standing in front of him.
Absolutely.
Having to answer.
As will each one of us.
That's right.
At different times, you know, the Christian will be at one judgment and the non-Christian, the unbeliever, will be at another. And there won't, you know, at that point in time, there's no decisions being made as to where you're going. Those decisions are made in this life. Mm-hmm. Each of us has a free will. Each of us has a right of choice. And you can choose to expose yourself to the Word of God until you believe on Christ, or you can choose not. You can choose to deny Him. You can choose to be in opposition, public opposition to belief in God. We have the right of choice. God's given us a free will. And in so doing, that God didn't lose control when he did that. God did not give up his sovereignty by giving to man a free will. In fact, the free will of man just reveals how much God is sovereign, because mm-hmm. God in his sovereignty can still operate in the realm of his sovereignty and allow man to make choices that either will condemn himself or cause God to, you know, he'll make decisions to either bring himself closer to God or further away, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I pray that this poor benighted woman will receive God's goodness and understand God's goodness, so that she might come to the place of realizing her evil way and trust Christ. Along with all those who, you know, listen, there's a lot of people, religious people. And that's a strange thing about this whole matter. You know, you got a lot of people who sit on church pews Sunday after Sunday after Sunday who are going to wind up sharing hell with this very woman.
That's right. You know?
And we talk about those Muslims who kill Christians and cut people's heads off. They're going to burn in hell one day as well, right along beside good church members who refuse to come to Christ.
And I don't think that they're going to have their 72 virgins.
Afraid not. I'm afraid that they're going to be disappointed.
Very disappointed. Join in on our conversation, area code 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com. If you have an Android device, you can download our app, WTGF. It's the Issues of Life Radio show right here. Welcome back to the Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Again, join in our conversation, area code 850-994-3747. Or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com if you're listening online. Thank you for listening. We've got people all around the world listening.
That's great. That's exciting to me to know that we've got people that are all amazing. Listening to us. I'd like to hear from some of those people. Do you have this thing that shows where they're listening from? No, you don't have that pulled up?
No, not right at the second, but we can.
Yeah, I'd like to know where people are listening from, and I'd like to encourage those people to... via the internet, you can contact us. And so contact us at issuesoflife.radio.com and tell us what you think. And maybe you can't call in, or sometimes you can, but if you're unable to call in, contact us over the internet, let us know, and we'll be glad to air your comments. Just give us a shout. Tell us you're listening, and we'd love to hear from you. We thank you locally, folks, here that are locally listening in, to tuning in with us. Thank you for those who call. We normally have people who call on a regular basis, and we appreciate all of those who listen. Take your time out of your day to listen to us.
And if we don't catch it on the first, please call back, because our secretary lady is still at the VA, and so we're manning the ship all by ourselves.
It's hard for us to do two things at once.
I know.
It's especially difficult for John to do different things.
It really is. Multitasking is something that I'm trying to...
Since Paul left us, I got to have somebody to pick on.
Well, I know that, but I pick back. Just be careful. But, before we went to break, we were talking about Kathy Griffith's comments that she said after she won her Emmy, I believe.
Yes.
And, she will face judgment one day.
That's correct.
But you made a statement in there that it kind of caught me off guard. There's going to be different types of judgment when you get to heaven.
That's correct. Let me clarify that. When you get to heaven, she's not going
right
at this point in time. Now, she may, she could, she still, God, she's not put out of God's kingdom.
Or let's rephrase it, when you die.
When you die. When a person dies, they're going to one of two places. There's only one of two places that you go. Now, I believe personally that a person will go to I liken it to the county jail that you go to for until resurrection, and you're cast into like the federal pen or the state penitentiary where you're going to be forever.
Okay.
But irregardless, there's people that believe different things on that, and I don't necessarily debate the issue. But when a person dies, they either go to heaven now instantaneously to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or they go to, and then those people are going to be brought back with him, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He'll bring those people, their spirits will come back, and their bodies will be resurrected, and they'll be reunited in body and spirit together to ever be with the Lord in that state of a resurrected form. At that point in time, there will be a judgment. While there's judgment being poured out upon the earth, mm-hmm. which is called the tribulation period, that's a 7-year period of time. The only shortening of that will be in the hours of the day, that at one point in time during that period, God will shorten the days by about a fourth, I believe it is, 4 hours. The days will shorten nonetheless. And the days will shorten, and... But in heaven, mm-hmm. Christians, those who have been resurrected, their body and soul reunited, will be judged in heaven at what we call the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment will be according to our works. It will, the determination there will not be whether or not you're going to heaven. That's already determined. You're already there. You're already with Jesus. But the things that we do in these bodies that we have now, these present bodies of flesh, will have to be sorted out, and will be the determination there will be for reception or receiving of rewards or not. And what the things that we do in the flesh that are not reward worthy, mm-hmm. will be burned. Those what we could have had, we will be there, and the anguish, if there is any anguish, and if there are any tears, will be over what we could have had and did not receive. See, mm-hmm. I think we'll understand that at that judgment seat. Mm-hmm. We will know. See, rewards are not just a matter of what you could have or what you have, what you receive. It's a matter of what you could have gotten. And it'll be determined. Many people have asked, and a lot of people have trouble over this matter of suicide, and we may have to deal with this in a greater length later, but the matter of suicide, I believe a Christian can commit suicide. Mm-hmm. I believe I know some people who have, Christians people. A preacher acquaintance, good preacher, solid as a rock. Committed suicide. Well, people wonder, well, was he saved or not? I don't have any problem believing he was saved.
Right.
And he's in heaven right now. But he, at the judgment seat, will see what he could have had he finished out his life naturally. You know?
Wow.
And the judgment will be according to what could have been, not what exactly was. See, so there's a judgment. That's the mm-hmm. judgment for believers. Now, the judgment for unbelievers will be after the millennial reign of Christ, which is 1,000 years. The future events are of such a nature that the next event on God's calendar is the tribulation period, mm-hmm. the coming of the Antichrist and the world coming to a pinnacle or a point to where it's everything just almost needs destruction. The Antichrist will be a world ruler, and there'll be turmoil and wars and famines and pestilences and all of these things. And then the judgments of God will be poured out on the earth during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Christ will come. In Revelation 19, Christ will come back to the earth with us who mm-hmm. are in resurrected. And I say us being the saved, those who know Christ now. We will come back with him in resurrected bodies. And then he will destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. The armies that have followed them will be destroyed. He will set up his kingdom on the earth. He'll rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. There'll be universal peace. There will be the lion will lie down with the lamb. The child will play at the hole of a poisonous snake without harm. There will be it'll be unspeakably wonderful during that period of time. Nobody will have any excuse as to why they don't believe in God or believe in Christ, accept mm-hmm. Christ. But at the end of that, and beyond that, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. At the end of that period of time, he'll be loosed. He'll be let free. He will go forth and tempt that last generation and raise up an army to go against Christ again. And then he will be destroyed. He'll be defeated and cast into the lake of fire himself. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now, once again, we see works coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a matter of what the choices that one made. The opportunities, I believe at this judgment, the opportunities that people have to move closer to God or to know Christ will be revealed to them. And they will understand the numerous opportunities they had to come to Christ. Even people who've never heard the name of Christ will understand that they had God's creation, that God mm-hmm. gave them a conscience. God put within every man light. He gave them understanding that there is a true and living God, even a desire to know him, but how that they suppress that knowledge down under their fleshly desires and their wickedness. All of these things they'll be judged according to their works. And then it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Their bodies and souls will be resurrected again. Then, mm-hmm. according to that judgment, they'll stand before God in judgment. And then body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire where they'll be forever and ever and ever. Now, in a burning hell of torment forever and ever. It's hard to comprehend. But if you understand the price that God paid to keep people out of hell, and again, what will be revealed there at that judgment, the opportunities that people had not to go to hell, to understand what Jesus did for them and believe it, and they rejected it. They suppressed it down under their own evil ways. Again, that's the final judgment. And so where the lost dead are judged, the saved will be judged at the Bema seat of Christ. The lost will be judged at the great white throne judgment. There won't be a general judgment, as a lot of people think, where it's determined you go to heaven or hell. That comes out of Matthew chapter 25, where it says that the nations were gathered. That's when Christ comes back to the earth right after the tribulation period to set up his kingdom. And he will judge the nations at that time to determine those sheep and those who responded to the witness during the tribulation period, responded to God or not. And the sheep nations will go into the millennial kingdom. The goat nations will be cast into hell. Those who rejected, those people groups who rejected the witness of God during the tribulation period will be cast into the hell, and those who received it will go into the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom of Christ will be populated with saved people to start with.
Wow.
So those are the different types of judgments that the Bible speaks of. There is no one general
universal
judgment.
Yeah.
There is not. That is a false concept.
Interesting. I was just curious. Wow, that took the segment, man. But I've learned a lot more.
Good. Well, I hope others, have understood some things. And again, if you have any questions along these lines or comments you'd like to make, give us a call at 994-3747.
Or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com, our Facebook page. You can download the Android app. It's all these different ways that we have for you to get in touch with us. And we're back on the Issues of Life radio show. If the people could see all the craziness in here.
I'm telling you.
That's why we're on radio.
We always have a good time during the break. Amen. Well, we have a good time the whole time, but we get kind of foolish and crazy during the break.
Unlike when Paul was here, when y'all would yell, scream, and fight and throw things at each other. We're a little more calm.
A little more calm.
You know, we were talking about judgment and the works. You're going to see what you could have done.
Right.
Okay. There are some folks out there that seem to think that based on what you do now, not being saved, but just by the works of your hands, that you will be going to heaven. And if you stop, then you won't go to heaven. It's like a line that you don't know whether you're going or not going, or
right,
you know, and that's that's confusing.
Well, and people who believe that, and there are a lot of people. I mean, in fact, let me just start my response to that is with a testimony. Before I was saved, I was confused as to how one got to heaven, like most people are, you know. And I didn't comprehend. I thought, and I was made to believe, and of course it was probably true, but I was made to believe I was I wouldn't go because I was a bad boy. Growing up, I think I've mentioned it before, but my nickname was the Little Hellion, and so, and I earned every bit of it. I'm not denying that. I earned every bit of it, but When I began to search for something at the time, and this was in my teen years, my late teen years, when I was 16 years old, I left home and went to sea. I dropped out of high school and I went to sea. And during that period of time, from 16 to 21, I began looking at life and looking into other aspects of religion, trying to satisfy an internal need that I had. I did not know where I would go when I died, and I did not understand anything much about God other than what I was taught as a child. And so I searched out the scriptures, and I searched out religion, and I studied religion, and I studied with Hindus and Hare Krishnas and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and anybody that came along with something new, I studied with them, mm-hmm. just trying to find out if they had anything to offer for this hunger that I had on the inside. And then I finally got to the place to where nothing seemed to satisfy. Nothing was satisfactory that I looked into. And so just the thought one time came to my mind, well, I was raised under the Bible and I was raised in Christian religion, but I've never really read the Bible for myself. And so I began reading it. I picked up an old Bible that my mother had laying around the house, and I took it aboard ship with me, and I began reading it. And in studying the Bible, I came to the realization what I saw in the Scriptures mm-hmm. was different than what I had studied in religion, even Christian religion. And the main difference that I found was every church or religious organization or religious person that I studied with before, they wanted me to do something.
Right.
Join the church, get baptized, be a good person, obey the commandments, keep the sacraments, on and on and on mm-hmm. were the things that they tried to convince me that I needed to do. And in that period of time, I developed my own religious philosophy, ideas. I thought that I don't go to church, or I don't attend religious classes or studies or any religion of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that I did at the time, and this was my belief, I said, well, and I even said this out loud to myself, the things that I do, I even told another person this one time, the things that I do, they don't hurt anybody but me, and I try to be a good person, I try to help the poor, I try to, anybody in trouble, I'll go to their aid, you know, I said, I felt like I have a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in reading the Scriptures, I found out that was totally out of whack, that was totally not true, because nobody has a good heart. Without Christ,
mm-hmm.
that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Scripture says. So I found out that I was deceived in that respect, and that what I needed was the nature of Christ. I needed the righteousness of Christ. I thought I was a pretty good person,
mm-hmm.
and I was genuine. I was sincere about that. I really thought I was a pretty good person because. Not because of some of the things that I did. I mean, some of the things that I did were not good, but there were other things that I tried to balance out. And that's really kind of what most people think, irregardless of whether they're in church or out of church. The idea is, well, I can balance out what bad things I do with some good stuff,
mm-hmm.
and if my good stuff happens to outweigh the bad on the other side, I'll be all right. Well,
you don't know where.
That's
where
right. You never know where the balance is,
right?
And it's always one way or the other, you know.
Right.
And a person who's following that type of a religious philosophy is never knows for sure if they're going to heaven. It's impossible to know for sure if you're going to heaven if you follow that line of thinking. Now. And many people who follow that line of thinking think it's impossible to know if you're going to heaven, period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. It is right. It is possible. In fact, it's not only possible, it's a necessity to know before you leave this life where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, and I say this with all honesty and sincerity, you can know, should know, must know. And I would encourage anyone to give that some thought, some consideration, because
right.
Jesus died so that you can know. Now, again, back to this idea of works, you know, that we talked mm-hmm. mentioned before about the works that will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. They are for a Christian who's already in heaven, and what they did on this earth will determine their level of rewards and responsibility in the kingdom or not. Nobody goes to heaven because of doing something that God might be pleased with.
Mm-hmm.
No one. Because God's not pleased with anything we do in that respect for us to be able to go to heaven. The only thing that pleases God sufficiently for an individual to go to heaven is what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. You see, the gospel is the virgin birth,
mm-hmm.
the sinless life, his 33 years on this earth were without sin. The virgin birth, the sinless life, the sacrificial, vicarious death on the cross where he became sin.
Mm-hmm.
He who knew no sin, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us sinners that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The requirement for heaven is the righteousness of God. Absolute perfection, holiness, purity, sinlessness. That's impossible from man's standpoint. That's why God himself came into this world in the form of a body, and that's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. God himself came into this sin-sick world, lived a sinless life, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
And died in our place that we might receive his righteousness by simply believing, receiving what Jesus did in our place and for us. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. It's not based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus did for us. You know, that really is the great thing about knowing Christ and coming into that relationship with him. And having our works judged, yes, but not as a determiner as to whether or not we go to heaven. Having our works judged as to what the determining factor as to what rewards we would receive or the rewards that would be burned up. That's where works come into play.
Okay, yeah, it's misused because, again, the scales of justice here, you don't know whether you're going or not.
Exactly.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah, in that sense, as I already stated, it's impossible to know if that's your belief, if that's your philosophy. And that's what people say. People involved in religious activity and people involved in religion say that, well, you can't know. You know, in fact, I've witnessed and talked to many, many people that are religious, very religious, some very religious, who say you can't know, it's impossible to know. And really, that's the part of their statement is absolutely true. It is impossible to know if that is your religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only way one can know for sure that they're going to heaven, and everyone who is going to heaven knows for sure, because they know that they've not done anything to merit heaven. They've not done anything, and there's nothing left in question about trusting Christ, because it's based completely on what he did. And the scales have been weighed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's scales, he was weighed in those scales and found nothing missing. You know, he absolutely pleased God. God says, the Father looked down from heaven and said, at his baptism, said, in whom I am well pleased, speaking of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God the Father, in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, it says, when he, God the Father, shall see the travail of his, Jesus' soul, on the cross of Calvary is where it took place. When he shall see the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. So the Father was pleased with everything Jesus did. And Jesus, suffering on the cross of Calvary, the Father was satisfied because it was for sinners who can do nothing to please God enough to go to heaven. I mean, and so that leaves out all the
confusion.
All the confusion. Makes it plain and simple that man can go to heaven simply because of what Jesus did if he'll just believe it.
Wow. We're going to have revival up in here before it's over with. Amen. Join in on our conversation. Area code 850-994-3747. You go to issuesofliferadio.com, Facebook page, all the things in between. It's the Issues of Life Radio show right here on WTGF. And welcome back to the Issues of Life Radio show right here on WTGF. Have a question, comment, concern? Give us a call. Area code 850-994-3747 is the number for you to dial Issues of Life Radio. You go to WTGFFM.com. Now, this isn't pre-screened, but I'm going to... hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, this is John. How are you all doing?
Well, good, John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I see the other third brother's not there again today, huh?
Well, he has departed permanently.
What do you mean?
Yeah, he is. He has other responsibilities that require his attention, and so he officially resigned as the last of September.
So, oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've had some little bumps in the road in between, so he was going to come on the air and do it right, but we're going to blame it on John. John
yes,
was
just
out of town.
Go ahead and blame it on John.
John was out of town, and we had to, anyway, we couldn't
That's
be
That's easier
on,
for you.
We had to play a replay that particular week, so that was missed out. Or maybe he'll call in and do an official, just kind of whatever. That's up to him. But anyway, that's what's going on with us, John. What's going on with you?
Oh, not too much. I just wanted to comment about that little deal on Facebook about that comedian. I didn't get a chance to see that yet, but I don't know. I know you like a couple of things on my Facebook that I've said. You know, I've always put biblical posts and things up there about, you know, Jesus and where I stand, all this and that. And you're right. There's a lot of people right now that are asking questions about what's going on, you know, in our world today. And, you know, every time I put something up there biblical, I get a lot of comments, and then I get a lot of private messages. People want to know what it means, what's going on, and this and that. And, you know, it's true. I've always believed when God allowed things to get bad, like we were seeing in the world today with all the hatred, killings, and stabbings, and you name it, I really believe that a lot of people starts paying attention, not just what's going on, but with their lives. They know that there's more than what's being seen out here in the world. You know, there's something better than this, and I think you put the biblical post out there, a lot of people are asking questions and they want to know what's going on, you know. And I'll give you an example. My mother-in-law, God bless her soul, but she's not saved. She's in her 70s, and she knows, and I've been a Christian for 20 years since I've been married to her daughter, and I'm always putting biblical posts out there, but she never liked any of them, and that's just the way she is. But she said something to me Monday night when we invited over for dinner. She says, you know, she goes, what is going on in this world? What, I mean, I have never seen so much hatred and so much crime in all of my 70-something years. And, you know, when somebody like her that's not saved or asking questions, everybody's hungry to hear something that's going to help them, that's going to save them. And that's why I really use Facebook a lot just for that, you know. And I didn't know anything about this comedian, but boy, I tell you, God bless her soul, because if she don't get saved before she meets him, boy, she really gonna get in trouble, isn't she?
Yeah, that's a fact. Well, of course, you know, my point was too, in when I was talking about that situation, is that the tragedy of the whole thing is, you know, we put a lot of emphasis, and I'm startled by it myself, how anybody could make such a statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember back when I was aboard ship as a teenager. I was on a crab fishing boat in Alaska, and I remember these Filipinos were on there, and they were all gathered around. We were all just, I guess it was in the mess room, and we were all gathered around, and they started telling jokes, you know, and that's kind of the way things go. But they started all, we all got involved. I never have been much of a jokester. I can't even remember them most of the time. But anyway, yeah. Back in the day, you know, we were all telling jokes, and they started telling jokes about Jesus, lewd, wicked jokes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't saved or anything, but I had enough consciousness about the Lord that I really wanted to get off that boat. I was afraid judgment was about to fall instantaneously, you know, and
mm-hmm.
of course it didn't. And God, like I said before, God does allow that kind of stuff. But the fact of God's goodness, you know, what this woman needs to know is how good God is, you know. And most people don't know that. Most people in her situation have some kind of a religious bitterness background that caused them to be bitter and hate God. You know, maybe they were abused. She could have been abused as a child. I don't know. There's all kinds of things that take place in an individual's life that cause them to be bitter, and then they want to take out that bitterness against God.
Why would you let this happen to me?
Exactly. And So I think that the need from our part is, again, to pray that they might experience the goodness of God that would lead them to repentance, you know. And again, that doesn't excuse anything she said or did, but the bottom line is this. Good church members are going to sit on that are sitting on a church pew every Sunday that will not come to Christ because their confidence is in what they do, their religious energy. They're going to be in the same hell she's in. You know, if she dies without Christ, they're going to be right there along with her and along with those people who are cutting other people's heads off and who are persecuting Christians. They're going to be all right in the same devil's hell together with Satan himself.
Yeah, what a terrible place to be in.
Oh, yeah. That scares me.
Yeah, well, it does. You know, I mean, it's not something.
It got kind of quiet there for a minute.
I don't hear a lot said about hell today. Now, you know, maybe there's some. You know, you see people on the street corner. They get out there and they preach and they talk about people going to hell. They hold up a sign and talk about going to hell, and that's all fine and good. And I'm not necessarily against those types of things. But here's the thing. I believe that people need to know why they're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to hell because they think about this carefully. People aren't going to hell because they are fornicators or adulterers or liars or murderers. Those kinds of people will be in hell. But people are going to hell. If they go to hell, whoever goes to hell is going there because they've rejected the payment. Nobody, no one anywhere in the world has to go to hell. Nobody has to go to, is designated to hell. Those who believe that are about as far off as you can get. Nobody's going to hell because of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hell because of what they don't do, if anything, and that is not trusting Christ. See, the only way to escape hell is come to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. He's paid the sin debt, and one must come to him in belief. Acceptance in order to go to heaven.
Well, how should us as Christians respond to Kathy Griffith's, whatever her name is, statement?
Well, I think that, number one, we ought to, of course, I like the fact that this individual is publicizing this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about it. You know, this person who did publicize this to start with, James Clowers, where I first heard it, and then, of course, we've responded to it and put it out more in the public arena. But, I think the number one, we ought to pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ought to pray that she would experience the goodness of God, which leads to repentance. And then it's because I'm just really thinking that this individual has to have some type of reason for being so bitter at God, so bitter at the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, maybe what would overcome that would be an experiencing in a real way the goodness of God and knowing that how good Christ is and how much he loved her in paying her sin debt, you know. Maybe. That's a good starting place.
Mm-hmm.
I think publicizing her wicked statements and being honest about them are important. And I think that anybody that would come in contact with this woman who would be from a Christian standpoint ought to witness to her in the right way. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that should be the response. And I don't, again, I think anytime anything comes up like this, we ought to respond like from a historical perspective of Christians down through the ages who've been under persecution, and that is in love and mm-hmm. compassion for their souls, pointing them to Christ who paid their sin debt.
And I believe that, and I believe too that is the problem today. Is as I speak to people today, is the churches has over the past few years has come out and wanted to grab them by the neck and paddle them for what they have done versus coming out with them with love, and that's the problem I think with the churches is they think everybody's too good, you know. I can't go to that church. They're better than I am, you know. I think that kind of attitude has got everybody believing that these churches are all for themselves. They don't care about us, vice versa. And I really think what you just said, and you know that love is the greatest of all, and it is true. I mean, we have to love these people. And you're right.
Yeah,
if I got on there and told that Catherine or whatever her name is, man, I can't believe that you're an ugly woman. You ought to go to hell. What does that make me?
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah, most of the time we point out, we're good as good church folks. We're good at pointing out the error, the sin, the wickedness, you know. But we're pretty slow on getting to the place of pointing them to Christ. You know, it's not just correcting the error. It's pointing them to the one who forgave the sin.
Well, the flesh is telling you point out the error.
Yeah, I mean, it's reaction, but again, if you just point out the error without pointing them to the one that paid for that sin, you miss the boat. You know, that's where that's where religion gets in the way of true Christianity. Well, John, we're about to have to go off the air. We appreciate your call today, buddy. You keep listening, keep calling. You call us back.
I will.
All right, man.
And God bless you both.
God bless you. You have a good day.
All righty. It's nice to hear from him.
I always appreciate John calling in. He's been a regular caller, listener since the inception, and we certainly appreciate all those who tune in to us. It's been a good day, John.
Yeah, it's gone by quickly.
It's gone by real quick, and I appreciate all of you who listen. Appreciate your calls. Contact us online, if you will. Anytime during the week, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got any subject matter you'd like for us to air, let us know. Issuesofliferadio.com. You just send it to Dewey at issuesofliferadio.com, and I'll get it in my email box, and we'll be glad to respond to it. Okay? Well, again, appreciate it. Appreciate you tuning in today. May the Lord bless you and keep you until next week at the same time. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.